Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Box Trick. I am your host, Matt, joined today by Andy at Andy B Plays. How is it going, man?
Man, I am so excited to be here. So it's going pretty great. For those who don't know, you and I have been on another podcast before. You were on one of my older ones, but I have been a longtime fan of yours for a long time. So this is really, really cool to finally be on one of your pieces of content.
Sweet. Let's go, man. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Well, yeah, we talk a lot on Twitter. And I was like, Box Trick for me, it's kind of seasonal. I feel like it's like always around like Portland Retro Gaming Expo, which is coming up, is always back when I get so super hammered into it, cause I get caught up with so many other things. Yeah, very excited to have you on. And we're going to do an RPG chat. So like normal, I've done a handful of these episodes before. We're each got three RPGs we're going to talk about. I will go first, just since it's your first time on here. So just, it's a break the ice here. Okay, so the first game I am going to talk about is a game that I've recently been replaying because I bought a Switch OLED. And let me tell you, the Switch OLED is the biggest game changer in the world.
Yeah.
In the world of gaming and especially RPGs, because it has basically every great RPG is on Switch or is coming to Switch. I mean, Skyrim's on there. Final Fantasy VII is on there. Grandia 2 is on there. I just bought Legend of Mana. Mm-hmm. Haven't dove into it yet. I've been playing Xenoblade Chronicles 3. Mm-hmm. Absolutely falling in love with that. Of course, Fire Emblem Three Houses is one of my favorites as well. But a game that came out a few years ago, I actually bought on Wii U just because I had like a credit or something. And then I actually rebought it for PlayStation 4 because I wanted to earn all the trophies.
Of course.
I bought again when I had my regular Switch, but I was like, you know what? It's just set there in my library. But now that I have the Switch OLED, it's just causing me to go back and play games. I'm like, what game would look really good on here? So this game came out around 2015, and it's Child of Light.
Man. Oh, man.
A Ubisoft Montreal RPG. It's very short. It's only about 10 hours. And sort of the cool thing about this game was that it's kind of a children's story, I guess, in a way. Everything rhymes. And it just has this very, very unique art style that reminds me of those old school sort of children's books, right?
Oh, you know? For sure.
Or like think sort of like late 80s, early 90s Disney sort of cartoons, like the Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm. Movie like the Red Wall and some of those things. That's like the art sort of inspiration for this game, and it has an amazing soundtrack that is honestly like a single piano. Pretty much it's like a single piano and a violin, and the game's only about 10 hours, and the best thing about it is it rhymes. Like the whole game rhymes. It's very, very, very interesting. You play as Aurora, and it's also this sort of like alternate history sort of thing going on to it. It's the you play as Aurora, you play up in Lemuria, right? But there's like this sort of like war going on, right? Yeah. And it's sort of like you're inside this sort of dream world, right? It's like you're in, it's 1985, you're in Austria.
And what?
Aurora, yeah, it's crazy, I know, right? That's like Prussian, that's like still Prussian, right?
You're not really
to like Germany yet. She's born to a duke who rules over this sort of kingdom, and he gets sick, and essentially he is sort of dying, and you have to go on this quest. And well, really, he's not dying, excuse me. You're sort of dying. And so you're in this sort of like dream world, and you end up going over this huge sort of like children's quest. Like, I guess, children's story quest is how I would sort of describe it. And you meet a handful of characters along the way. The battle system is an active time system, and you can kick. So you see, you have a bar at the bottom. It's, you know, turn based, but it's active. Okay. And when you have like triggers. So as the battle progresses, you'll enter like a little zone, and you can attack somebody and knock them out of the zone. Grandia 2 had a very similar battle system to that in terms of sort of the time gauge, for anybody who's familiar with that. But the game, it's just absolutely phenomenal, and it's so short. It's only like 10 hours, so it's a very
easy
pick up and play. Yeah, especially as we live in this world now where it's like I'm in Xenoblade Chronicles. I have 30 hours.
Oh man, you're a lot.
I'm in chapter 3. So yeah. It's like some of these games now are just so large, and then there's just so many great games coming out. And, you know, as you're getting older, you have more things going on. It's just harder and harder to find time. So
yes. It
is an excellent, excellent game for me so that I can always go back and dive into it. So, Andy, are you familiar with this game?
So, yes and no. I got it on the PS4 when it first came out as well in 2015, which feels so long ago now. It's crazy. When you sit down and you look at the timeline, it's like 2015, that feels like it was yesterday. But no, it wasn't. I also played a little bit of it on the PS4. I didn't beat it. I didn't even realize that everything in the game was rhyming. That's actually really interesting. It really shows how much I truly paid attention, I guess, back then. But no, this game sounds amazing. It sounds awesome. And I'm sure on that Switch OLED screen, it's just phenomenal.
Oh, it's just, yeah, it is such a gorgeous game. Yeah, I know. I first played it on Wii U. Oddly, awesome. and then I ended up getting it for PlayStation 4, but it obviously came out on PlayStation 4 and Xbox. Guess what? Xbox One, right? Yeah, you know,
that's,
the Xbox naming is always the one that sort of throws me off. So I'll throw some gameplay footage up here as well. But
I think...
so you can see that sort of that time gauge.
Oh yeah. See, I think I played it actually on Xbox, now that I'm thinking about it. I don't think it was on the PlayStation 4. I believe I played mine on Xbox, but is it on Game Pass right now as well?
Oh, I don't know about that. It very well could be. It's sometimes bundled with not Vagrant Story, it was like Valiant Hearts or something. Okay. It was another Ubisoft game that used a very similar art style that was about like World War One or something.
Okay.
But they sometimes bundle those games together.
Right.
Every character has their own skill tree. You pretty much always have to have Aurora in your party, and then you get it's always a party of two, and there's a lot of different character classes. The game is relatively simple. It's really not that difficult at all. So you can kind of pick which character you want, but they all do sort of play very differently, and they all have their strengths and weaknesses. The story, I feel like, is because it's only 10 hours, it actually really sort of gets to develop itself. The world itself is not entirely Metroidvania, and that you'll do some backtracking once you unlock some new sort of abilities or things. There's a good amount of secrets, and there is also a new game plus.
Okay.
So yeah, so definitely worth replaying. There was a little bit of DLC, which I think added another character. Let's see if I can find some gameplay footage of just like running around. This is mostly all thing, but yeah, so you know, it's just the it's a very, very unique art style in this game.
Yeah, I could see, like, based on what I'm seeing right now, I looking at this, yeah, that OLED screen, oh man,
oh my god, it was like one of the first things I booted up. Mm-hmm. When I got the OLED, because I got it recently, and I was like, oh my god, hold on, I gotta go see what this looks like.
Yeah.
And there's just, because if there's just so many blacks and the color palette, mm-hmm. with that high saturation of the Switch OLED. But that's not to say it doesn't look fantastic on its own. I mean, I played it on the Wii U, and I think I sometimes used the gamepad for it, right? I think it also came out on Vita, and it's actually a game that does in a way sort of benefit from a touchscreen. If you are able to play it, you have this little floating orb that mm-hmm. sort of follows you around, and you can use it in battle. It's one of the really sort of cool things about it, is so the battles are sort of normal thing, but you can use that little orb that's floating around and following you, and you can like put it on your character to heal you. And there's like sort of things you can find on the map, or you can use it to like put it on another character, on an enemy character, and slow it down. So that's like another aspect that you can use during battle. And it's just kind of a unique experience. And because it's so short, I highly, highly recommend this game.
It's probably pretty cheap now on the OLED, right? Or I mean on the Switch.
Yeah, and I think you know, you can get it on Steam. It's one of those games that you find it on sale, you can probably get it for like $5. I think like standard it's probably 15.
Yeah.
But I'm sure you can sort of wait to find it on sale.
Yeah. I wonder, I'm sure it probably is, but I wonder if it has a physical copy for the Switch. I'm going to look that up actually.
Oh, maybe. I think it's sometimes bundled with another Ubisoft game. I think it's called like, I want to say like Valiant Hearts, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I can look that up as well. There was a sequel that was potentially planned, and then they were sort of asked about it in like 2019. Yeah, it's still in development, and then nothing's ever come from it. The soundtrack's kind of unique. It was done by this French Canadian artist. I have her name here somewhere. She does the, I don't even know how to pronounce it, because it's, you know, French Canadian, Cure de Pirate, I think. I don't know.
Awesome.
Right. You know, she's from Quebec, right? It's like, that's like, you know, it's like there's Canada, then there's French Canada. For us Americans, that's like an entirely different, you know, part. Yeah. We're like, I don't even know what's going on over there. But yeah, she did the entire soundtrack.
Okay.
Like, herself, and a lot of it's just piano, and then there's like a song she did at the end, but it's just like one, they hired some artist and she came in and did the whole thing, so pretty cool.
Yeah, so
Switch physical?
I did, and it comes with Valiant Hearts, The Great War. Looks like it comes from Europe because it's got the PEGI
rating
and stuff like that. Yeah, so it's $30 if you buy it this way, which is cool because you get two games. But then if you just buy the digital copy, also too, this is the ultimate edition of Child of Light, so it probably has the DLC.
Right.
And then the regular edition that's on the eShop for the Nintendo Switch is just $20 by itself. So for the extra $10, you get a whole other game plus the DLC Child of Light. So I'm picking this up. I played a little bit of it when it first came out, but I forgot all about this game. This game looks awesome.
Yeah. Oh, and on the Switch, on that Switch OLED, man, it is crisp. It looks so good. And again, short RPGs these days are great.
Game changers.
Yeah. So, okay. Andy, what do you got, man, for your first game?
So my first game that I want to talk about, right? It's Final Fantasy IV, or originally Final Fantasy II in America when it was first released in 1991. This game was also the first game to introduce active time battles, which were then used for the next 5 games. And also, characters couldn't change classes. Apparently, this game is often regarded as one of the best games of all time, noting that it pioneered the way for dramatic storytelling in RPGs. Now, there are a lot of different versions of this game. There is the Game Boy Advance version, which a lot of people really love that one. There is the PSP, which is my personal favorite, and the one that we're going to be talking about for quality of life fixes and stuff like that. But there's also a terrible, dreaded DS version. I don't know. Have you heard about this at all?
So, yeah, let me think about this, because the DS version, this was one of the games, right, where it's like they 3D'd it, right, on the DS. Yeah.
Yep. And with voice acting too.
So I guess I always thought that people liked that version, but that's not the case.
So I had this.
No, definitely not. Yeah.
I had a couple of conversations before when you first hit me up and we were talking about doing this episode. I reached out to a few of my friends. I'm like, man, what game should I talk about? And a couple of them that were like, you love Final Fantasy IV, so
yeah,
just talk about it. I'm like, fair enough. Then we started discussing the fact that the DS one is just, it's hard. It's like ridiculously hard for no reason. Like within the first, maybe like once you get like established and you're going off onto your own and kind of exploring the world, you can run into monsters that are overleveled and just one-hit KO you, which aren't in the GBA or the PSP versions. For some reason, it's only in the DS version. And I think it's because my buddy and I were talking. I think the GBA version was kind of more of like, it was a port of the original version, but it was kind of like dumbed down a little bit. So then when you played the DS version, people were like, well, we want a more, you know, it's more challenging game, stuff like that. And so they did that, and it's very, very hard for no reason. And the voice acting isn't that great. And I mean, it was cool seeing these characters in 3D and stuff like that, but I just remember I was not a fan of the DS version at all. But then I ended up playing the PSP version. I think you have the DS version up right here.
I'm sharing on the screen for those of you guys watching on YouTube, the DS version. Yeah, which I definitely didn't play. And real quick, there also had to have been, because I always have to remember which games it was. On the PlayStation 1, there's like Final Fantasy Origins, Anthology, and Chronicles. Was 4 one of the games in that group? Because Origins is 1 and 2, and then I think 6 is like, it's like 6 and maybe Chrono Trigger, or it's like 4 and Chrono Trigger or something.
It's 4 and Chrono Trigger because I have it right here.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
right.
Yeah. This is a very, very good version of the game as well. But I've always been a handheld boy. So any chance I could to play it handheld, that was always my preferred version. But yes, it did. Right. It came out with Chrono Trigger, which is cool because, you know, I feel like this is something you don't really see that much anymore. You know, like this version of the game. So it's just cool. And actually, it's funny because I forgot that I had it until you started talking about it. And I looked behind me, I'm like, oh.
So then is the PSP version, is it a, like, is it basically like a super port of the PlayStation version? Because I felt like there were a lot of RPGs where that was the case, where it was, you'd have a game that came out that was like an older RPG got hit the PlayStation, and then sometimes the PSP version was like that. Mm-hmm. Is that the case with this?
Yeah, so it's Final Fantasy IV the Complete Collection, which comes with the like added the added like DLC that they put out years later called the After Years, which takes place like 17 years later after the events of Final Fantasy IV. And it was published by Square Enix for the PlayStation Portable, and it came out in 2011. It was like the, you know, complete version of the game. And I think that's why it's my favorite as well, because you do get that, the DLC that came with it, the extra, you know, bit. But also, one of the quality of life features, and I don't know how you feel about this in RPGs, but it has a speed up button. So sometimes if you're like, I love that. Like Final Fantasy IX, it's not on my list, but Final Fantasy IX right. on the Switch, amazing yep. because you could speed yep. up that dialogue because that game is slow. Yes. And that's how I felt about this on the GBA and even on the DS. But then when the PSP version came out, I had that. And I played it. I was like, this is amazing. This is absolutely amazing and really made me fall even more in love with the game. I really like a lot of the characters. You know, like you start off with Cecil or Cecil, depending on who you're talking to. Everyone pronounces things differently. But you get all sorts of different characters. And like I mentioned before, it was the beginning of the active time battles. So when you're sitting there waiting for your chance to attack, the enemies don't stop. They can still go at you. So it's not like it's still turn-based, but if you take too long, they will take advantage of you and they will attack you. So that is a very interesting thing, which they ended up keeping for a very long time until Final Fantasy years later eventually got rid of turn-based almost entirely and went to the more, you know, action RPG style. But it also made it where job classes weren't a thing, because in Final Fantasy III, that's what a lot of Final Fantasy III was job classes and stuff like that. And right. so in this one, you get your character, they are that class, and that's that for the entire, you know, rest of the game, unless something happens to the character which causes them to change, which I'm not going to spoil a game that's been out since, you know, I was a baby, but some characters do change and stuff like that. So there are some stuff going around. And also too, it's one of the Final Fantasy games that involve the crystals. So 1 and 2 do as well. 4 does. 9 does as well. There's crystals in 9. You know, it's kind of like they're not in the same, you know, universe per se. They're all right. different games, unless it's a direct sequel. But sometimes I like to make believe that these games all kind of take place because they all feature very similar themes, you know, like the crystals, the, you know, earth crystal, fire crystal, water and wind and stuff like that. But I love the characters. I love the writing of the game. It was just one of those games that hit me, I guess, at the right time in my life and really just solidified my love of RPGs. And I need to go back and play it soon. And that's honestly something I wanted to talk about too, is why are these games not on the Switch? It doesn't make sense to me.
I think I feel like they're coming because it just got right 1 through 6 just got what is like the Pixel Perfect remaster or something.
Yeah.
Where it released on Steam. So I feel like it's just a matter of time because Square has been very good to the Switch. I mean, they're bringing right now it's like just the next like 6 months, that last Nintendo Direct we had, right? That's like the next 6 months is nothing but Square like games hitting the Switch. I mean, Octopath 2 is coming out, the Dragon Quest, whatever, which 3 or something, remaking that HD 2D style. Yep. And everyone has been like pushing so hard for, you know, like I would say 6 and 4, which seem to be of the 1 through 6, right?
Yeah.
Typically, it's like there's the debate is always 6 or 4 as the best, and then everyone usually has 5 as that. Like it's like 6 or 4, one of the two, and then 5. Although usually it's 6 is what everyone goes with.
But, mm-hmm. Yeah, typically, you know, if you're you know cool, you go with 4 because it's better.
Right. Yeah, so that version, let's see here. So the PSP version, are the subsequent versions better, or do you believe that is still like what you would consider to be like the definitive version of 4?
I think it's the definitive version. I mean, but to be fair, I haven't played Pixel Remastered yet. So that might include, you know, the after years with it, which it probably does. It's also available on iOS and Android, which I think is interesting. So if it's available on there, just put it on the Switch already. Just give me a bundle. Just to put that out. 1 through 6 is a remaster, is a, you know, the Pixel Remaster on the Nintendo Switch. I'll buy it. But it features 16, you know, 9 high resolution graphics. It's got the same CG openings as the Nintendo DS remake as well. But it's got a brand new CG opening for the after years, a new soundtrack, which is really cool, and gallery mode for viewing CG movies from Yoshitaka Amano's artwork. And you know, the art for most of these early Final Fantasy games and most Final Fantasy games are just breathtaking. So being able to have that, you know, the game on portable with the PSP, looking at the art, watching those movies and stuff like that, it's really, really nice. It's so, yeah. Yes, I think the PSP is definitely the best version.
The way to go. And, yeah. You know, I will say, because I just bought a Retroid Pocket 3, which is sick. I've only had it for like a little over 24 hours, and it's awesome. But I was watching videos. So the other day I was watching videos, people sort of comparing, like, you know, just gameplay footage and stuff like that. And because it can play PSP games, and somebody was showing, they weren't showing Final Fantasy, they were showing some racing game or something. But they had a PSP game, they had a PSP running that game, and they had the Retroid Pocket 3, which I just, since I have it sitting here, I can show the camera, right? It's very similar size to a PSP, but they had the PSP playing that and then the Retroid playing it, so you could see, look at them side by side. And I will say, and I didn't really play a lot of stuff on the PSP because this was more, I had a DS, I didn't have a PSP, but there is something, and I don't know how to describe it, about the PSP screen that I just really like. It's got this, I don't know how to describe it. It's kind of like the Game Boy, in like you have like the glass and the screen's just a little bit behind it, and it gives it this almost like CRT, little bit of a filter, and it's lit, and it's not, it's like, it is backlit, right? But it's really got like some of the light comes in from the corners, and there's just something about the PSP screen that I just really like. Maybe it's nostalgia. I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. You just have to pick. You just really have to play a game on the PSP. I mean, of course, you can emulate it. You can do whatever. And a lot of PSP games there for a while, you could like buy on the Sony store and, you know, whatever. But I don't know. There's just something about the PSP screen that I don't know what it is. I just like it.
I completely agree. It's the same thing with playing, you know, on the Game Boy Advance SP with the better lighted version. I always forget the name of it. But yeah, I completely agree with you. There's just something nostalgic, and it really does seem to look better, which is weird, especially like if you do emulate it and you can run it on some of these newer handheld, you know, like the thing that you just recently got.
Or any of them. Yeah, there's, there's so many of these things now.
Analog Pocket, you know, all those different things. But like, there's just nothing compared to playing it on its original hardware.
Yes, 100%, 100%. excuse me. Agree. Okay. I guess I can move on to my next game, which is Quest of Dungeons. Are you familiar?
I have no idea what this is.
That's fine. Okay, so Quest of Dungeons is a roguelike RPG. It's I first experienced it on Switch, but I think it was originally on iOS, it's on Android, came out on Wii U, all those things. Normally you can find it for very cheap. It is it's like an indie developed game. It's like I said, it's a roguelike, but it's like a turn-based roguelike, if that makes sense.
It sounds intriguing.
I'll pull up gameplay footage because I did a review of it for a while ago. So instead of using somebody else's gameplay footage, I can actually at least use mine. I figure that's fair. But you get a handful of different characters, and one of them actually you can unlock is the Necro Dancer from Crypt of the Necro Dancer.
Interesting.
So it's kind of like a little tie-in there, which is kind of cool. But you get like a warrior, a wizard, a rogue who uses bows and arrows. You get a shaman, and it plays really fast. So it's in a way like you are moving, like say on a grid, but the game plays very, very, very fast. And you have like four different difficulty levels. You go through these dungeons. There's roughly 9 levels per each dungeon. You're going to die a lot, and you're going to have to restart, but the game just is pick up and play so fast that even if you die, you're just like, you're never like truly disheartened. I never really, really feel bad about dying. It's got a cool art style that's 16-bit esque, because a lot of games, these indie games, they go for that 8-bit style, and it just never actually looks 8-bit to me. Like Shovel Knight looks like it could have existed on the NES. Like you could, if you like, if you showed me Shovel Knight and you're like, this is a Nintendo game, I'd be like, I believe it.
Yep.
You know, like you had no knowledge. You'd be like, it looked like, it just looks like it. This still looks, you know, like it's not entirely 16-bit, but it's a lot closer than some other games try to go. Like you can definitely tell it's on modern hardware, but you just run through these dungeons. You'll fight a bunch of monsters. You can kind of like run into them, and it's just sort of simulating a battle. And I have so many hours on this game. It's sort of like, you know, some, I've heard the term loading game, right? is right where you just sort of pick something up and you just to play just for a few minutes. Mm-hmm. And this is like that, but it's sort of a version for this. It's a turn-based RPG version.
Yeah. Of that.
You get spells, you find items, you get little quests, which is basically go find something in this level of the dungeon or go kill some boss. Mm-hmm. And then you'll find stairs. So you can go like all the way down to level 9 while you're level 1. If you happen to get that, because it's all generated every time.
Right.
Randomly generated dungeons.
I'm intrigued so much just by watching this gameplay right now. This looks so cool.
Oh, it's so sweet. Yeah, again, you can almost always find it for cheap. I think it's on, like I said, I think it's even on mobile. If you wanted to go that, if you wanted to go that route, but
right,
yeah, it's incredibly, incredibly straightforward. I've had most fun, I think, with the archer is who I play with the most, but the warriors. I mean, they all do feel just unique enough, but you just kind of jump in. It's short game, so there's really not a ton to say about it, but it's definitely worth probably like the $5 for asking.
Yeah, I feel like these types of games are slowly becoming more and more of some of my like favorites recently, with having a kid and you know working full time and stuff like that. So having something like this where I can just pick it up, like you said, it's a loading game. You know, I'm just waiting for something else, pop in real quick. You know, or like exactly like I just for like let's say like I just bought a game on the eShop. I'm waiting for it to download. Oh, gotta kill time. I'm gonna just pop right up in here.
Right.
That's so awesome.
Or you plop down on the couch after working all day and you got a baby, you're taking care of the kids, and it's like I only got a couple minutes to play something, you know, or like my wife, the reason I have an OLED Switch is she's somebody who never really got even into is like a video gamer. Like that's not her thing. Mm-hmm. She's not a video gamer. But for whatever reason, she got super hardcore into Luigi's Mansion 3.
Amazing.
Beaten it like 5. I mean, she's like the kind of person who was like would never touch video games. But for whatever reason, she got really into Luigi's Mansion 3. And then I was kind of like, okay, well, like, you know, like the Switch is kind of like my thing. So, you know, and so then I bought Splatoon 2, and she's like hardcore into Splatoon. So when Splatoon 3 was coming out, I was like, I'm buying myself a Switch.
Yeah.
And so, but there for a long time, she would play it for like the majority of the evening. So by the time she got tired, you know, we're only up for like another hour or something. And we have the TV on and we're watching stuff and I'm on my computer doing stuff. So it's like, I wouldn't have a lot of time to sit and actually like dive into, you know, something like Xenoblade. So yeah. I'd be like, okay, well, I would just pop into Quest of Dungeons and I can just, you know, play that for a little bit. But absolutely worth probably the $5 asking price, especially if you're into those sort of like old school, you know, dungeon crawling, like RPGs, even if you're like a Diablo fan, like loot heavy, stuff like that. And it's got like the soundtrack, I'll say too, is just, it's nothing special, but it's just something that is works very, very well for that type of a game. Because a lot of games, especially in older games, you'd hear the same song over and over and over and over again. Like to me, this is almost more like lo-fi where it's just background music.
Yeah,
it's
just
super chill. So yeah, highly, highly recommend it.
Awesome.
Yeah. Okay. What do you got next?
So my second game is Golden Sun, The Lost Age. Now, the first one in this series is also absolutely fantastic, but the reason why I chose The Lost Age, I'll get into in a little bit. So for those who don't know, Golden Sun, The Lost Age was originally released on June 28th in 2002 in Japan, and then eventually came to North America in 2003. It was the sequel to the hit Camelot game, Golden Sun, and basically it's a turn-based RPG. Who does not love those? But what's interesting about this game in per se is the main protagonists that you play as, they were villains in the first game. So throughout the course of the first game, you learn all a bunch of different types of stuff. You beat it, the second game starts up, and you're playing as two of the characters that you've met previously in the first game, and the story just unfolds from there. But there's a really, really cool and interesting feature with these Golden Sun games, and I don't know if you've heard about this. So when you beat the first game, you get a password, right? And this password, when you load up the second game, allows you to transfer all of your save data from the first game, because at a certain point in the Golden Sun and Golden Sun The Lost Age, you run into those four characters from the first game and they join your party. So you end up having eight characters that you can switch from at any given moment in the game and build your team any way you want. And right now in the game, on the video that it's showing, those are called Jin or Jinny. I can't exactly remember the correct way to say it. I probably think it's just Jin, but these are interesting because each one has a different elemental type based on earth, wind, fire, water, the main, you know, four of every single fantasy type of thing ever. And each one of your characters represents one of those types as well. So each character collects these different types of Jin, and you use these to activate different summons, and they are awesome. And there's something about, we were kind of talking a little bit earlier about just something with the way the GBA screen looks and the PSP screen looks, and playing these types of games, graphically, it's not the best, right? But for the time, being on a handheld, it captivated me so much. And I was just drawn to these fantasy worlds. And this one in particular, I love everything about it. I love the way the summons look, because when you do a summon, when you activate it, it cuts, like this little like cutscene starts to happen. And it doesn't look good, okay? Because it's pixelated, it's all these different things, but there's just something about it that is so just, you just feel like a badass when you summon these monsters. Like you can see right here, you can kind of see the battling a little bit like that. It follows the same exact, you know, active time battles like for Final Fantasy. Oh, it's an ad. You don't have premium.
There's an ad. I do not have no. There we go. Back to it.
Yeah. But, you know, games are just so much fun. And reception wise, I'm looking at it right here. It did pretty well. Like IGN gave it a 9 out of 10. GameSpot 8.6 out of 10. You know, Metacritic was an 86%. So it's got pretty high reviews. And it's a game that I just recently went back and started playing again on my Wii U, because Nintendo Switch for some reason doesn't have GBA games yet. Fingers crossed it eventually comes. But I was aching to play through a really good RPG recently, and I loaded up my Wii U and I was like, oh, I have this on the, you know, the Wii Shop, so I'm gonna load it up. And started playing through it again, and it's so nostalgic for me. It hit me at a time in my life when things exactly weren't the best in my childhood. So this was one of those games that I could go to and just kind of drown out everything that was going on around me and just put my headphones in, listen to the really cool soundtrack, hear all the different types of things. See, here he is right now trying to go after one of these djinn. That's I think that's a wind djinn, and it's like a little puzzle, because when you try to go after them, sometimes they run from you. And I forgot about this. You have to fight them too. So you have to fight them to get them and stuff like that. And it's so much fun. And I recommend anybody who's a big fan of RPGs to play one and this one, The Lost Age, but don't play the third one on the DS.
For the DS. Okay. I was about to say, real quick, just some comments on these two, because I'm very unfamiliar with the DS one. First of all, the Golden Sun series as a whole is, all I've ever heard of anyone who's ever played it is like, it's just sheer heartbreak. And when I get to my final game, it's another sort of sheer heartbreak for the fans of the series, is that it's just sheer heartbreak that they've never made another one of these games. It's just what Nintendo does, right? It's like, where's F-Zero? Where's Punch-Out? Where's Metroid 4, right? Metroid Prime 4. I mean, we did just get a Metroid game at least, but
the best,
you know,
one.
It's just one of those things where this is such a beloved series. Another thing I will say about Golden Sun is I've always appreciated two things. One, I love the battle, the way the battles look, where it's this,
it feels 3D. It's this sort of behind the character view, right? It's not like the standard Final Fantasy where it's like side by side. Like this is a game, if you ever want to talk about a game that is pushing the Game Boy Advance to the absolute max,
this
would be it. And then one other thing I'll say about this is that a lot of Game Boy Advance games, the color palettes are extremely washed out because they were designing it for like the original Game Boy Advance, where, you know, the lighting wasn't the best. So a lot of times they turned the brightness up because they weren't initially backlit. It's not as big of a flaw on Game Boy Color and Game Boy and regular Game Boy, because they didn't really, you know, Game Boy Color, the color's like not that great. Whereas here it's kind of like the perfect in between, but it's before we get to the DS where everything just sort of looks like, you know, decent to really good, but you still didn't have the backlight. But the color palettes in these games look absolutely phenomenal for the Game Boy Advance, which is saying something. And if you don't believe me, go look at Super Mario World for the Game Boy Advance port, which is a really excellent port, but look at it compared to the Super Nintendo port, and it's a night and day different.
Yeah.
In terms of just color palette.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's amazing. I can't recommend these games enough, but again, only one and two. I was not the biggest fan of Golden Sun.
What's the deal with the DS version? I thought people liked it, or I guess I could be wrong. I'm unfamiliar.
So it's got a 79% right now on Metacritic, but to be honest with you, I can't really give you a real definite reason as to why I didn't like it as much. So I only played it once, right? I've beaten one and two multiple times, but I've only played the third one time. And I just remember like kind of feeling like that was it. You know, I waited so long for this game to come out, and I just felt like it wasn't nearly as good as the original two. It takes place like 30 years after, and you play as like descendants of the first two games and stuff like that.
Oh, and that's right.
Yeah. And it's got, you know, it's more into like 3D and stuff like that. I don't know. It just didn't capture the magic for me for some reason, but who knows, maybe if I went back now and tried to play it again, I might change the way I thought about it, you know, and stuff like that. But I just remember me, my brother, and a couple of my other friends that had it were just kind of like, I don't know, it just wasn't the same, it wasn't as good. And like right here, IGN gave this one like a 7.5 out of 10, whereas 2, 9 out of 10. So I apparently wasn't the only one that was like, it's missing something. I just don't know what it is.
Okay.
Fair. But I recommend it. I recommend going, like, we need more Golden Sun. You know, we need it.
Yes. That's what, because everyone, seriously, anyone I've ever talked to that has played it, all they ever say is just like how absolutely fantastic it is. And it's just a very, very, very beloved, lost Nintendo franchise.
Yeah, I we probably follow quite a few mutuals on Twitter, but every single time there's a Nintendo Direct, I don't know if you see this, but there's always people going Golden like Sun. Yes, exactly. Are we gonna get GBA games? And if we do, where's Golden Sun 1 and 2? Are we getting a new Golden Sun game? You know, like stuff like
who's
that.
Who's had it worse? This would be a good poll.
Okay.
Who's had it worse? Earthbound fans or Golden Sun or Golden Sun fans?
I'm gonna say Earthbound.
Yeah.
I'm gonna just say it because we
don't. I don't know. It's on Switch, so
okay. But listen, can you go and buy like so? Wasn't it Mother? Right. Mother 3 was never localized.
Yeah. No, and it's all they ever talked about. And Nintendo's even made fun of them.
I know. I love it, Reggie.
Reggie was it? It wasn't Robot Chicken, was it? It was a robot. They did a Robot Chicken skit where he like laser eyed somebody. They did like a Muppets one too, and like that little window.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right. Okay, so my final game is actually one of the first games I ever talked about on this podcast all the way back in 2011 for anybody who ever was listening back then. And then, of course, I re-uploaded all those episodes when I sort of relaunched the whole podcast in like 2017. Okay, so my absolute favorite RPG of all time, and to me, it is the best RPG on the PlayStation 1, and I don't know, Dollars for Donuts, I'd put it above Chrono Trigger, but, you know, that's just me. Other people can believe whatever, you know, whatever they want. I'm fine if people say Chrono Trigger or Final Fantasy VI or Final Fantasy VII is the best RPG ever. You can say Skyrim, you can say whatever you want. But for me, the best JRPG ever, hands down, and my personal single favorite game of all time is The Legend of Dragoon for PlayStation 1. It is just an experience unlike no other. And I'll get some gameplay going up here on the screen. If you are a fan of turn-based JRPGs, you just have to give Legend of Dragoon a chance. One of the most intriguing, interesting battle systems I've ever played. The only thing that even comes close to it is some of the Tales games, I would say. Ooh, okay. In which you have sort of a true, you know, like, it's not just click attack and then you go attack, right? Mm-hmm. So in the Tales games, you're like doing combos and things like that. Eternal Sonata is kind of like that as well, where it's, you know, you have a little bit of time and you just sort of go fight. In this, you have what are known as additions, and it'll come up on the screen here in a second as the battle begins, where you go to attack and you have sort of a selected move that you'll do. And they power up and progress throughout the game, but each character has their own set and they're all very unique and all very different. But you can not only level up your character, but you can also level up these attacks. Like the more you do them, the more powerful they become. And it just makes the game so fun because there's always like a new little sense of progression. You still level up items and all those other things. And that's sort of your basic attack system, is these things called additions. And you'll see it here on the screen in a second. Now, once you select one, like you select it through the menu, you're locked in that battle. But some of them, as you're progressing throughout the game, will earn you more sort of like special attack, or some will do more damage. So your SP is this thing that fills your Dragoon meter, which is sort of basically how magic works in the game. So you have the whole deal is called the Legend of Dragoons. It's kind of like Ronin Warriors, if you're at all familiar with that. And it's also kind of like Pokemon a little bit too. So you have these handful of characters and they're all essentially tied to an element. So you have fire, earth, wind, water, light, dark, and electric. So it's in some ways it's kind of like Pokemon. So your main character Dart, who on the screen here is the guy in red, is fire element. So if somebody uses a fire attack on him, it does less damage. However, he can actually hurt water and vice versa. So it's basically like they're just opposing elements. So like earth and wind just do a ton of damage to each other. Light and dark do a ton of damage to each other. So you only get three characters, and there's more than that. There's more than enough elements, and you pretty much always have to have fire on your team. So it does kind of cause you to like be selective in who you have on your team. Then, as you'll see here, this guy you're fighting, he's turning into a dragoon, and everybody has like a dragon element that they're ultimately tied to. And that's sort of like it's kind of like going Super Saiyan, I guess, or Mega Evolution in Pokemon. Where once you do that, you go into this form where you can do more attack you can do more damage with your attacks, and you can also do magic. Other than that, there is no actual magic in the game. Okay. So you get items and you use like healing items. You get these like you know, it's like basically like think like bombs and, you know, like some of the Final Fantasy games, you get items that you can throw at people.
Right.
The cool thing about that in Legend of Dragoon is you get like a fire spell that you can essentially throw at somebody. And of course, if your character who's fire based is the one using it, it will do more damage because he's the fire character. When you do it, however, a meter comes up and it's like you just have to press X as fast as you can. And the faster you press it, it gives you a little percentage meter, the more damage you'll do. Mm-hmm. So back in the day, you could buy like a turbo controller and totally break the game. and you just hold down the turbo controller, or it's like playing Mario Party where you just gotta mash X.
Yeah.
it's four discs long and it is an epic story. I mean, you are just like in love with these characters. You go all over the world. Think of any other, you know, multi-disc RPG in the sort of PS1 era. Final Fantasy VII is probably the closest, I think, thing to sort of consider it by. It's sort of on the box. It says it's like the Final Fantasy VII killer. You know, there are a lot of games we're going for that, but it certainly didn't live up to that. But this came out in like 2000, so it was definitely towards the end of the PlayStation 1 life cycle, and it's made by Sony. It is a Sony property.
Oh, wow.
And the executive producer was Shuhei Yoshida.
No way.
Yeah. So it's definitely got some cool ties, some very cool ties that go into it. And Dart was supposed to be, he was going to be a DLC character for PlayStation All-Stars, the battle there, really? Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
There's like concept art of him and everything. And it, for whatever reason, he was going to be like the next wave, but the game just didn't do as well as Sony had hoped, so he didn't make it. And who knows, that could have revitalized it, just how Nintendo sort of brought Fire Emblem to the West with Martha mm-hmm. Roy and Smash yep. Brothers. And it's so unfortunate. And every, you know, year there's always rumors of, ooh, Legend of Dragoon remake, here we go. But anyone who's ever played it knows that what we really want isn't a sequel, because the ending of the game is so like definite that you just don't need it. But there's a lot of lore and history in it, and really what this game needs is a prequel. That's, I think, would definitely be the right way to go. But yeah, you see here on the system on the screen, if those of you guys watching, those additions are just so much fun. Mm-hmm. Once you really get going, and then they can counter them, and that like catches you off guard, and then you can get screwed. But great, lovable characters, excellent story. You're looking at around, you could probably beat it with like 40 hours.
Yeah.
There's not like a ton of secrets to find in the game, but it's just a very, very good straight through experience.
Yeah, I've heard of this game before, and I know a lot of people really love it. In fact, while you were talking to me about it, I remember a good friend of mine loves it, and I hit him up. I texted him really fast. I was like, hey, you love Legend of Dragoon, right? And he's like, oh, absolutely. And I want to ask you this, because this is what he said. He said it has the best, hold on, what did he say? Best menu theme ever. Do you agree with that?
Oh, God. So good.
Okay. Okay,
cool, the music in this game is phenomenal. Yeah. I will say it's, and the cutscenes are Final Fantasy IX equivalent.
Oh.
I mean, like Final Fantasy IX equivalent. Yeah. Now the voice acting in this game
is
kind of notorious. There's not a lot of it. Like there is some in the cutscenes, which, hey, like Final Fantasy IX doesn't even have mm-hmm. voice acting, right? For the cutscenes, but then they sort of like shout out their additions.
Yeah.
And they're like pretty exaggerated, you know, like when Dart uses his move, he's like volcano, you know, it's kind of like Street Fighter, you know, whatever. But then like sometimes as you do more, as you progress through, like it sounds like it's a different voice actor. You're like, is this even the same guy? Cause they just say them like differently.
Yeah.
But it's just so cool. And like the game is just, you can tell a ton of work went into this game. Like this it's a very big budget, ambitious game, and I've replayed it I don't even know how many times. It's just my absolute go-to RPG. I've replayed it so many times over the years.
Yeah, I'm kind of wishing that I still had a PlayStation 1, because now I want to play my copy of Final Fantasy 4 that I forgot that I have. And now I got to get this game too. I'm surprised that I've never played it.
You can get it on, I know I have a digital copy of it on PlayStation 3.
Okay.
And then I haven't played, you can't even find PlayStation 5s, but towards the end of the PlayStation 4's life cycle, I just kind of fell out of playing games on that because I just sort of switched to PC and Switch.
Okay.
So I've really been sort of out of the loop on a lot of things that are going on PlayStation Plus, but I believe PlayStation Plus has been upgraded and they're bringing PS1 games. So I would not be surprised if this is not available there, or if you still have a PlayStation 3, I think you can still go into the store and buy stuff and you can go buy some of those PlayStation 1 classics and it should be there.
Okay. Okay. Man. Yeah, this game looks awesome. I didn't realize. So I always thought it was just like a regular turn-based RPG. I never realized that it did have this interesting battle system. And I can see what you're saying, how it is pretty similar to, you know, like the Tales of games.
Yeah, and then you'll see right there, one of the other things that's very cool about this game is that when you block, you heal.
Okay.
So, like, you can go through the game without even using healing items.
Entirely. Oh, wow. So you, if and you just some block, of the, okay.
Yeah, some of the magic in the Dragoons will heal as well. But you can play almost the entire game just blocking, because then you heal. I think you heal 10% of your life back. When you guard. It can make the game get a little long, but once you get going with your additions and get them sort of powered up, it's just an absolute ton of fun. And the lore in this game is just like begging to have sequel after sequel after sequel.
Man, where's that? We need a remake. We need a remake for the Switch. Let's go.
Well, it's a Sony owned property, so it will never.
You know what? MLB The Show 22. It's on the Switch. Right,
there you go. Yeah, Sony. I guess that's true, because Sony, because it's impossible to buy PlayStation 5, Sony's been porting things to PC, and they've been opening the doors. Oh, I would, if this game came out on Switch, really, what this game needs is just let Square port it.
Yeah,
Square is so good at porting things. Just let Square go do whatever they want and port it and HD it. Or even Konami is doing Suikoden remaster.
Yeah, one and two.
Those look pretty cool. I haven't really ever played either of those, but I need to.
I'm right there with you. I'm in the exact same boat. I never played those, but they're right up there on my list of games I need to play.
Okay. All right. Well, that is my final game. So here we go. What do we got?
I went back and forth so long on trying to decide what I should talk about. Now, I almost, you care if I talk about a couple of my honorable mentions before I list last one?
Yeah, okay. That's fine. That's totally fine.
So a couple of honorable mentions that I had, that I kind of reworked, was Final Fantasy IX, which is honestly one of my favorite games of all time. I absolutely love it. We've talked about that game before on one of my old podcasts with the Babylon crew. You know, you and I kind of gushed about Final Fantasy IX together. I love it, especially the Switch version. I love it so much.
All right.
The other game that I almost put on here was Fire Emblem from 2003.
Yeah.
In Japan, it's called, which I think you and I also talked a lot about on Babylon. And that was kind of a big reason why I didn't want to discuss it again, even though, you know, your audience may not have heard, you know, that discussion. Right. I still just wanted to have a new discussion with you myself personally. So what I decided to add as my third game was Pokemon Heart Gold and Soul Silver.
Okay.
Now, for me, these games are the best Pokemon games to date, 100%. I honestly feel like they have not been beat. They came out in 2009 in Japan, and then eventually in 2010 in March, we got them. They are direct remakes of Gold and Silver from 99, and they are perfect, literally perfect games. So for those who don't know, if you haven't played these and have lived under a rock for the last forever, they basically re-upped the graphics, made them into 3D for the DS, not 3D, but you know, little more updated and stuff like that. And they took everything from Gold and Silver and Crystal and added them into these giant games. And something that a lot of people to this day still absolutely love about Gold and Silver was the fact that you go back to Kanto. So you get the 8 badges from Johto, you fight the Elite Four, you go through Kanto, you get 8 badges again. So there's so much more gameplay. Then you fight the Elite Four again. And then after that, you can fight the end-all, be-all final battle of the game, Red. And it's this epic battle against him and stuff like that. But what's so special about this game is they added so many cool new features from all three, Gold, Silver, and Crystal. There's a whole entire Suicune storyline that you got to go through and stuff like that. And the difficulty of this game has been ramped up from the original, Game Boy Color Gold and Silver games. Like, this game is very punishing at times, especially after you've beaten the Elite Four a couple times. You can go back through and they're higher leveled. You know, there's a part after you fight Red, I believe, you can go back and they're like in their 70s and stuff like that. And it's just very, very difficult, especially Lance. His Dragonites, they are unforgiving. But one thing that I really loved about this game, and I think a lot of other people did too, was the fact that it introduced a lot of us to EV training and IV training. So it had the whole entire, you can breed your Pokemon to get perfect stats, IVs, everything like that. And it really kicked off the online Wi-Fi battling scene. And that's where I got hooked on it. So I have always loved Pokemon, but this game was the game that really got me into online Wi-Fi battling, which is something I still do to this day, whether it's on Pokemon Showdown or every once in a while I'll hop in on Sword and Shield and kind of still mess around and stuff like that. But this game, I feel, really paved the way for the online competitive scene, introducing us to all sorts of different types of mechanics and stuff like that. And it's funny because when I first played this game, these games, I had no idea what those were. No idea. So then, like a year later, after they've been released, a buddy of mine was talking about it and he mentioned EV training. I thought he was talking about the Pokemon.
Right, Eevee.
Yeah. So I was like, why are you training a bunch of Eevees? And he's like, oh, Andrew, you are so young. You have so much to learn. So then a good friend of mine, he and I both literally bought notebooks and we were writing it down because, like, you have to, like, for those who don't know, EVs are effort value stats that go for each individual, attribute, attack, defense, speed, et cetera, et cetera. So for example, to raise one of those, you have to battle and defeat a certain amount of that Pokemon. So like Geodude put up defense EVs. I think you had to defeat 6 Geodudes to get 1 defense EV. So I'm sitting there, I wrote down Geodude in my notebook. And little lines, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, there's 1 EV. And effort values are rewarded in different ways. And you can have a certain amount. I can't remember the exact number for per Pokemon. But yeah, you can spread them across all the stats. Or you can do it for just like 3 of them. It's a whole different way to play Pokemon games that I don't think a lot of people utilize. I mean, I think people more closer to our age, you know, like the people that have been playing Pokemon for a long time and want something a little more interesting and challenging, EV training, IV training, a Wi-Fi battling is there for us, you know. But those who are just picking up Pokemon for like the first times, like with Scarlet and Violet, you know, like the younger generation of players, they're probably not going to know what that is, you know. So it's something for them to learn, and it's just, it's really fun and interesting. But these games really still to this day hold up. The only issue that I have with Heart Gold and Soul Silver is how slow it is. I mentioned that with Final Fantasy IX being a slow game. That's how these games are too. I feel like the walking animation is slow. I feel like the battle text is slow. Just even if you attack a Pokemon, like if, for example, you're fighting against a Pokemon like Blissey, whose an HP in defense is just through the roof, and you're attacking it, it takes forever for that HP bar to go down. So honestly, I'm in the boat of seeing remakes for these games, even though these are already remakes. But I think it would be incredible. And I think this is still, like, this is easily... And this can be said for all three of the games that are on my list tonight that we talked about. But this game is easily my top, like, 5 favorite games of all time.
Yeah.
I love Heart Gold and Soul Silver.
You know, very interesting. You picked 3 handheld RPGs.
So for those who don't know, I am a handheld gamer through and through. That's why the Switch is my absolute favorite console of all time. Ever. I play exclusively in handheld. The only time it's ever docked is A, charging, or B, playing Mario Party, kart, golf, et cetera, et cetera, right, with my wife or friends. But other than that, that sucker's with me everywhere I go.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's interesting. I thought about that for a second. I was like, oh, yeah, it's just, you picked all. So I have a very interesting story about, I didn't play Heart Gold. I played Soul Silver.
Okay.
So played
yellow and blue mm-hmm. on Game Boy Color. I actually have my original Game Boy Color behind me. It's purple. Hold on, let me.
Please.
My big crate of random stuff here.
Yeah, I had an apartment fire in 2016.
Here's my original game. I got my original Game Boy Advance. The screen is broken. I needed to get a new one, but I actually have some other random one I bought that has a good screen. So here it is. Boom, right here. My original Game Boy Color. Of course, the back is missing, but this is the one I had back in the day. I still have my original copy of Pokemon Blue.
Oh, screen my out. Gosh.
Things a little... things a little ripped, but whatever. So, didn't play Pokemon Silver or Gold when it first came out because I just had that, and then I moved on to then like the Dreamcast came out, and I was playing that, and I'm much more of a console gamer.
Yeah.
So I remember, probably around 2001, 2002, a buddy gave me like some Game Boy games, and one of them was Pokemon Silver. And I was like, oh, sweet. I've always wanted to play it, whatever. Save battery. Dead. couldn't play it. Because, now we know how to fix them. And you can ROM, put it in like a Hyperkin, whatever,
yep.
Retron 5 or, any of that stuff. So you can fix it. So then I ended up at a garage sale and I Pokemon Silver. So I have two copies of Pokemon Silver. Both don't work. Save batteries. Dead. In both.
No.
So bad. So years later, I bought my 3DS, I bought the original, just the black 3DS at a store. And I remember the XL had like sort of just come out, but I bought a 3DS used and I bought two games. And I was like, I had that point had not really played handheld gaming for a very long time. Because I just always play consoles. So I bought Animal Crossing New Leaf, which is like the game yep. I wanted for 3DS. And I was at a game store, retro game store, where I bought my used 3DS or my used 3DS for like $128. So I was like, oh, that's kind of a deal. Cause they were still like 200.
Oh yeah.
And I don't know how I freaking scored this. Cause I'm sure it's way more today, but I bought a cart only Soul Silver for like $20.
Oh yeah.
That's, yeah. Wow. Which like today, like a cart only Soul Silver is like 60,
yeah.
Like, obviously. Yeah. I mean, it's just like ridiculous. Like, and they're just hard to find because
yes,
that was probably like 2013. So like, way before, now we're like in ultra collecting mode where, it's just hard to find that stuff. But so I sat down and I played Pokemon Soul Silver, and I have a bunch of friends who's always played, Pokemon, kept up with the Pokemon games, and they all feel like all say the same thing, where like Gen 2 is just the best because you get yes. both regions, right? It's yeah. like it's so sweet. So my real first experience even playing Pokemon Silver or Gold was playing Soul Silver, and God, it was just such a great experience. And there's just small stuff yep. too. And it just like the animations, everything just feels yeah. so clean, so crisp. It's one of the things I just love, the DS era Pokemon games. Like they're yes. just done so well. And I've played every Pokemon game since. Replaying Soul Silver actually got me so back into Pokemon that I bought X, my brother bought Y. We played those hardcore. I got Omega Ruby, didn't really get into that. Yeah. I skipped Sun and Moon. I thought I'd be more into it, couldn't get into it. But then, of course, Sword and Shield really, really got me back into it. But I played X like hardcore.
Oh, yeah.
Because of Soul Silver, replaying Soul Silver. And it was just yeah. such a fun experience. And getting to go battle Red and everything mm-hmm. is just
yeah.
such a huge thing. I should actually boot it up and see like what my Pokemon are, just because I haven't touched yeah. it since. But
yeah. And another little kind of like cool feature was the fact that it brought back the mechanic from Yellow, where Pokemon followed behind you. In mm-hmm. fact, they have of all 493 Pokemon that are available in that game have animations to follow behind you. It's wonderful. Yeah. It's awesome. Something we didn't really see again, I think, until Sword and Shield, right? with the the Isle of the Tundra, the Crown Tundra. You could randomly do it in there in that DLC. And now it's going to be back, I guess, in Scarlet and Violet. We'll see. But interesting enough, my friend, we met in high school, probably right after Heart Gold and Soul Silver came out. He was the exact same way as you. He had only played, but like he'd only played like a couple of games prior, like on the GB, like a Game Boy and stuff like that. Didn't play the best.
Yeah, I did. Let me think. I did emulate Pokemon. I did emulate Pokemon Fire Red, which was a ton of fun.
Very good.
Which is sort of that's this like there's Fire Red, and then you go to and then you go to this.
Yeah.
Do you think we'll get if we ever get another one? Because I thought we'd have one by now. I always thought you would just do Let's Go, Gold and Silver.
Yeah, I'm honestly. I think. We might still get it. I think the reason we haven't was because they really wanted to try Arceus, you know, the Legends game, which ended up being awesome. I don't know. Did you play it?
Yeah, I couldn't get into it.
What? Really? So I,
I think it's because it released, it just, for me, it released too close to Brilliant Diamond, Shining Pearl.
Yeah.
And I actually thought I wasn't going to like Brilliant Diamond, Shining Pearl, but it's like, I have a lot of friends that are like Diamond, Pearl, Platinum. It's like it typically is like people say it is that seems to be the pecking order is it's like you're either a it's Gold and Silver that are the best or it's Diamond, Pearl, Platinum that are the best. I feel like those it's like that's the big split. And then I think. You know, there's obviously the original people, and then there's some people that are like Black and White. It's almost never anyone's like Ruby Sapphire That's where I was going.
Emerald. Yeah. Pokemon Emerald is amazing. So good. But the reason it's not as good as Heart Gold and Soul Silver is because Gold and Silver does have so much more in the game. Like you can beat Emerald in like 18 hours and then you're done. Obviously, you can go get the Pokedex. Battlefront, you know, introduced the battle tower and stuff like that, but there was no online capability at the time. So that's where Heart Gold and Soul Silver, you know, really came in. And that's why I was like over the moon excited for Oris, you know, when those remakes were coming out, just to be completely let down. Those games suck. They were not good in my personal opinion. Yeah. They tarnished what I,
I just got real bored real fast. I don't know what it was. Just like,
I personally don't like Mega Evolutions. I don't know how you feel about it. You said, you know, you like X and Y a lot. I also thought X and Y were great games. Gen 6 is awesome. But Mega Evolutions was one of those gimmicks that I just could not get into. And so seeing my favorite region of Hoenn change into this Mega Evolution, they changed the story and everything. And I'm like, it's no, I don't like that. Whatever.
What did you think of Brilliant Diamond, Shining Pearl?
I loved them.
Hate it because I thought the art style was stupid. I just thought that I thought the chibi art style was like the and I went on Twitter and I was very vocal about it. And in my review on YouTube, I was very vocal about it and everyone agreed. I felt like everyone agreed with me that I thought the art just I thought just going in that direction was the single dumbest thing you possibly could do.
Yeah,
because it was just like, why would you do that? It's even like X and Y on the 3DS look better. I just but. Then I played it and I was like, I don't know. It wasn't as bad as I thought. It was just, it's still an enormous missed opportunity. But I ended up liking that more than I think I thought I would, which I feel like was a disservice because I the people who I feel I hear talk about Diamond, Platinum, Pearl, it's like so beloved for them because it's just that DS generation and just so good. I don't know. Yeah. And then, I mean, Black and White are.
Dude, they're so
good. That's the thing. It's like, is there a bad mainline Pokemon game? Is Ruby? Yes. Is Auras? Is Auras? Yes. Is Auras?
No. Sun and Moon. Sun and Moon are also bad. Gen 7 sucks. Everything from Gen 7, the 3DS era of Pokemon.
I own Sun and Moon. I've never touched them.
If you're going to play them, I know you own Sun and Moon, but Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon are better because it has more content and like bigger and better things. Yeah, those
I've had a really hard time going back to the 3DS, which sucks because I really love the 3DS is I don't know. The 3DS is up there for me as one of my favorite systems
ever.
because I the sheer amount of time I put into Animal Crossing New Leaf, Theater yep. Rhythm, Final Fantasy, Pokemon
Fire Emblem Awakening.
Yeah, I bought not Fire Emblem Awakening. What was the other one? Birthright Conquest.
Yeah,
those ones. I bought one of those and tried to play it after playing Three Houses as like my first final Fire Emblem. It's like two. It's just Three Houses like so different that it's for that being my first. It's like, well, I don't know that I can ever play anything that's not. Because it's like, yeah, it's just, it didn't work. But yeah, I mean, I love the 3DS. I have the original one in black, and then I have the Mario Luigi Superstar Saga special edition one, which is the one that I play. I love it, and I have virtual console games on it. But I just once I bought the Switch, I just can't go back. I don't know what it is. It's just hard. Because it like the Switch is just so good that the 3DS just feels like clunky in my hand.
Yeah, you're completely correct. Unfortunately.
And I loved it. And it was like, it was so good. But there's also not that many games now that I really want to go back and play. Like I have Majora's Mask. I have the only game that's on there that I've actually gone back recently to play is A Link Between Worlds.
Okay.
And it's good. Just because it's really the only way to play it.
Right. So real quick, there was one RPG that I mentioned yes. to a lot of people that never heard of. And I actually, now in hindsight, I probably should have put it on this list. It would have been really interesting. It was a Nintendo DS game. I want to see if you've played it. Okay. It's called Lost Magic.
Oh, no. I thought you were going to say Glory. I thought you were going to say Glory of Heracles, because that's another one that I haven't heard of it. It's it's a Nintendo developed RPG.
That sounds awesome.
I mean, it's a Nintendo developed RPG. Let me pull it up because I feel it, but I will look up this other one too. Lost Magic.
Lost Magic. It's you play like exclusively with a stylus, and to attack, you draw magic runes on the bottom screen, and it's so good. It's so sick. My brother.
I've seen it.
I love that game so much. And so many people are like, either they've never heard of it or they're like, that game's garbage. And my brother and I, John Beller, he and I will defend that game forever. It's so good.
You know, the crazy thing about the DS is that, you know, I think sometimes people look and they think like, what's the best RPG system? Is it the Super Nintendo? Is it the PlayStation 1? Is it the PlayStation 2? It very well could be the Nintendo DS.
Yeah,
like, seriously. The DS, it's like hard to sort of think about because it's like I just think in general handheld, like when people think of video game, it's always like the consoles first and then the handheld second.
Right.
But the DS was like just as successful as the Wii. People like kind of forget that, but the DS has so many just phenomenal RPGs on it. It's like impossible to even know. Mm-hmm. There's like Knights and Nightmares, like one I've always wanted to play, like looks sweet. But yeah, I'll pull up this Glory of like Heracles game because it's, I feel like it's kind of like if you like, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like if you like Golden Sun, you will like this game.
Okay, yeah.
Because I think it's kind of like, I don't know. I don't know. It's like I have an ad I have to sit through. It'll come up here in a second. But yeah, it's a Nintendo. I know, I need to get YouTube premium. Jeez. But I refuse. I already have so many other streaming services.
I
just can't. But yeah, I mean, I'll pull up the thing. And it's like, of course, nobody ever talks about it. So this is like, you know, some like, I don't know, G4 review from like years ago.
I'm already loving this art.
Yeah. I think you can still buy it on Amazon for like $12, you know, like new.
Whoa.
New. This is a game trailer. This is like an old game trailers must be review from like back in 2008. But it's like Heracles, or like, you know, Heracles, whatever. But yeah, I've always heard people say if you like Golden Sun, you'll like this game. Let me, you know, hold on. Well, that's up there. Let me grab the box. Yeah. I have the box over here.
Yeah. Man, this game looks awesome. I don't know how I've ever heard about this. It's got those really nice black outlines on the characters. I've always been a big fan of that. That's nice. Ooh, here's some more battles. Interesting. It looks just like Golden Sun.
It's totally Golden Sun. Yeah. I mean, but it's Nintendo developed, Nintendo published.
I've seen this. Okay. They own it.
It's their intellectual property. Oh, a land of myths, a time of heroes.
Yeah,
it's totally it's like Golden Sun, man. If you like Golden Sun, you'll probably like this. But it's just like one of those things where it's like, you know, Nintendo develops stuff, but sometimes you don't have that Mario, you know, or Zelda logo on it. It's like it just gets lost.
Yeah. Wow. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, Glory of Heracles, man. That's the game. I'll look it up on Amazon right now. I seriously bet you can get it for like, I don't know, $10.
Watch, it's gonna be way more than that.
It's gonna be like $200. I'll sell mine if that's obviously because I booted it up like once, you know. It's like, let's see, Glory of Heracles. It doesn't even come up on Amazon.
Great. You have to find it on eBay.
Yeah, you have to go to eBay where it's a stupid amount. Let's go check eBay. All the other games we talked about, good luck, by the way. Well, yeah. Child of Light and Quest of Dungeons are eShop games, but Final Fantasy IV, I don't know if you can get the PSP version, of course, but they're obviously so now the PSP version of that has like cutscenes, right? They added in cutscenes. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that the Pixel version probably includes those. But Golden Sun and Pokemon Heart Gold.
I saw just the cart, like we were talking about earlier, at a local game resale shop around me. It was $70.
Glory of Heracles DS. Oh yeah, complete in box versions on eBay for $14.
Oh, looks like I'm going to eBay.
I mean, cart only $11. So you're still in luck. But yes, okay, and of course there is always emulation, which is what I always encourage. But there, you know, there is, again, always something. So sick. Awesome. Okay. Well, Andy, thanks for coming on, man. This has been a ton of fun. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for having me. I loved it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just talking RPGs. Always, always so much fun. So where can people find you on the internet?
So you can go to YouTube at Andy B Plays. I talk a lot about JRPGs, turn-based, a lot of Pokemon stuff too. Everything Nintendo Switch, I honestly exclusively only talk about Nintendo Switch because it's what I know. It's what I play the most on. And then also too on Twitter at Andy B Plays, you know, just hanging out, having a great time, you know, just having a good time over there, talking, showing off, you know, some games that I buy every once in a while because I'm trying to build up a small collection of stuff like that, which I might start showcasing a little bit more on my YouTube channel too. But who knows? Let's see. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. But yeah, thank you so much for having me on here, man. Like I said, this is so much fun.
Oh, so much fun. Absolutely. Love talking RPGs. Always, always, always. Especially even the ones I've talked about before. Whatever. Doesn't matter because, you know, RPGs are, they're different than every other type of game, right? You invest so much time into them. Oh, you have like your own personal stories with them.
Yep.
It's an absolute ton of fun. So again, absolutely. Thank you so much for coming on. So with that, guys, as always, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. You find me anywhere on the internet at Super Gains Bros, as always, and hope you guys have a great rest of your day.